Good morning. My name is Pastor Cassie O'Brien Graham. If you're just now joining us online, I welcome you and ask you to let us know you're here by commenting below. We are starting our third week of our series on the parables that Jesus told. We're specifically looking at Mark's gospel. If you look around all the gospels, Jesus tells many different parables about many different things, but we're kind of focusing in on the ones that Mark shares with us. And so 2 weeks ago, we looked at the parable of the mustard seed, and then last week, we looked at the parable, you know, of the scattering, the sowing of the seeds. And this week, we kind of move away a little bit from agriculture, right? We're not talking about plants and planting, but we're actually going to look at three different parables that Jesus kind of tells back to back to back to explain to us what kind of church we are called to be, and how we are called to live in an ever-changing world. I just said a really bad word to some people, the C word, change, right? Many of us, myself included, sometimes don't like change very much. I mean, I like change that I find on the ground, right? But when things start to shift in a different direction in my life, I start to get a little anxious. Now, I do like change as long as it's planned, right? I like moving. I like trying new things. I like going new places. But I have to make sure that I have fully prepared myself for it. Just this weekend, Aaron and the girls and I had a big family camping trip planned, right? And we were supposed to go to Watkins Mill, which is just on the other side of Kearney. And then we saw the forecast coming in. Now, you experienced the great rains of Plattsburgh this weekend, right? It was not good camping weather. And so as Aaron and I are trying to decide what we're going to do, I was like, I just give up. We're just going to stay home. And he's like, whoa, I already took time off work. Let's go do something fun. So my not like to change things self found a last minute retreat. And we went away for a couple nights and spent time with our family. And it was a great time. But had it just been me trying to plan it all, because I don't like change, and I don't like having to shift plans quickly, we would not have gone at all. Sometimes in our lives, we resist change. We resist things bumping up into our lives. We resist the disruption because it makes us uncomfortable. Jesus, though, offers us these parables to tell us about how change can work and live and move abundantly in our lives. Some people say if you're not changing, you're not living. If you're stagnant, you're dead. Well, we believe in a living, breathing, moving, ever-changing God. And so we, too, are called to walk along this path. We start our story today with Jesus teaching out on the lake, or beside the lake, I guess. And it tells us in Mark's gospel that a large crowd has gathered around him. And then we meet this guy named Levi. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Which is, it's the first gospel that was written, but it's not the first gospel found in order in your Bible. It comes after the book of Matthew. We're going to be looking at Mark chapter 2, and I'm going to start in verse 13. It is a gospel reading, and it is in our tradition that we stand for a gospel reading. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit today. Mark tells us this. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up, and he followed him. And as he sat down at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well are in no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but the sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting, and the people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guest cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak, otherwise the patch pulls away from it, the new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But the one who puts new wine into fresh wineskins." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Anyone else confused? A little bit, right? All right, so we have two stories kind of butting up back to each other. The first, we'll start with that one, is the story of the call of Levi. And so we meet Levi here, and he is kind of just sitting on the side of the road in his tax booth. And Jesus comes along and says, "Hey, Levi, follow me." Now, Levi has what I would consider a terrible job. Some of us have jobs that we love, and we feel like we are absolutely called to, and sometimes they wear us out, but they also give us life, right? Thankfully, I'm blessed to have a job like that. Some of us, though, have jobs that we hate. They have jobs that simply drain us and cause us more worry and anxiety than they offer us life. And I think Levi is kind of in this predicament. As I think about some of the worst jobs you can have, I was reading some commentaries by N.T. Wright, and he talked about one of the most terrible jobs that you could possibly have would be a parking attendant or a traffic cop. And he says, all day long, it's your job just to give people parking tickets and to fine them for leaving their cars where they shouldn't. Over and over again, people are just angry with you because you have made their day bad, right? Now, N.T. Wright says, suppose this parking attendant, who everybody already hates because he's just making their day miserable, suppose the parking attendant was also working for a government that you hated and that you wanted to get rid of. And suppose that these parking laws had just recently been introduced, that you've been parking in the same spot for years, and all of a sudden, a new law by a government you hate passes a law saying you can't park there, and so the next day when you go to work, you get a parking ticket. This is Levi. Levi is working for a government that people don't like. And new rules have been created, and so he has to collect their taxes. In this time, he was probably working for one of the Herods. Herod the Great died in the year 4 BC, and he had 3 sons, okay? And so his land, his kingdom, was divided among his 3 sons. One got Judea to the south, one got Galilee in the north with some of Jordan thrown in, and the other got the parts that extended up into Syria. And so we find ourselves in this story right in the midst of Capernaum. And so Levi probably worked for the second of Herod's sons, another Herod. And so there was a new rule that was created that when you passed from one of the kingdoms into the other, you had to pay taxes. You had to pay a toll, right? And so Levi's sitting there. People don't like the government. They don't like these new rules that have been imposed. And so he's probably just been treated like dirt for his whole life. Anyone experience that in their job? Just people not liking who you are and the things that you have to do? I feel bad for administrators, right, Ken? Often, or managers, people don't like the rules that you have to enforce. And so Jesus comes along, and he doesn't shout at him. He doesn't yell at him. He doesn't swear or grumble or get angry. Instead, he just passes him by and says, "Follow me." Change. Do something new. Come and I will show you a new way of living. This is the promise that Jesus has to offer us. Now, I'm not saying quit your job that you hate, right? But through Jesus, we can find and discover a new reality that might help us get through the stress of the world. And so just after Jesus calls Levi, the people are not happy about this, right? They don't like this Levi guy. They've heard about all the wonderful things that Jesus is doing. Jesus, so far in Mark's gospel, he's done a preaching tour throughout Galilee. He's cleansed a leper. He's healed a paralytic. And then he calls Levi? Why would he call this guy? And then, to top it off, Jesus does something that was kind of forbidden. He goes and he has dinner at Levi's house. And it says in Mark's gospel that as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, there were many tax collectors and other sinners there, along with the disciples. And so the people, especially the Pharisees, are starting to get a little perturbed with this guy called Jesus. And so suddenly they pose a question to him. They get angry because not only has Jesus called this tax collector to be one of his followers, not only is he eating with other tax collectors and other sinners, but he has just committed the cardinal sin of not fasting. As we approach the text, it says John has some disciples, and there's the Pharisees, and all of them are fasting, just like the good Jews are supposed to. But Jesus is not. Jesus and his disciples are not fasting when they're supposed to. And they come and they say, "Why are John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fasting, but your disciples aren't?" It's kind of like being a youth director and all the kids are being good and somebody comes over and says, "Hey, why are your kids up and being loud?" Right? You get pointed out and called out on. And Jesus, of course, gives a little smart aleck answer. He tells them a story. Actually, he tells three different stories. And so we're going to kind of look at each of these together because they're a little confusing. First, he starts talking about weddings, and then he starts talking about patching up old clothes, and then he starts talking about drinking wine. And you come to the end of it, and you're like, what is Jesus trying to tell us? So let's start with the first story. Jesus says, "The wedding guest cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast on that day." Now, the bridegroom is just a fancy name for the groom, right? And Jesus is often in Scripture compared as the bridegroom of the church, okay? So Jesus is talking about himself here. Now, if we look back at our liturgical calendar for a moment, I want us to think back to Lent for a second. We're supposed to fast during the season of Lent, but we get one day off a week from fasting, right? And what day is that? Sunday, right? Because Sundays during Lent are like mini resurrection days. They're days where we come and we celebrate the wonderful works of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is saying, hey guys, I'm here right now. I'm here, come celebrate because I am present. Take a break from the fasting and turn and celebrate with me. As long as they have me with them, they cannot fast. Have you ever been to a wedding where there was a big buffet of food and the bride and groom are still out taking pictures and you just kind of have to wait for it? Anyone? Yeah, and you're starving. And then the bride and groom show up. And let's imagine for a second, the rule says, well, you can't eat that food. The bride and groom are here, but no, it's not for you. That would not be a very fun wedding, right? I think I might be a little angry. Jesus is saying, hey guys, when I show up, let's party together. Let's have some fun. Let's celebrate. The work of the church can often be long and difficult and challenging. But it should also be a place where we can come and we can celebrate and we can feast together, because that's what the kingdom of God looks like, right? In our communion liturgy, we say, God, we can't wait until we sit at your heavenly table where we can feast together as the family of God. That's what we long for. And Jesus is saying, hey, while I'm here, let's do that. It's okay to break the rules or to bend the rules if we're living into the life that Jesus has to offer. The second story he tells is about sowing. Any sowers in the room? Some of us? I'm not a sower at all. I try to be, but it's not very good. But one of the things, especially back then, was patching clothes was pretty common. Today, anymore, it feels like clothes are just made really cheaply, and so when something gets ripped, you just kind of throw it out and go buy something new, right? But that hasn't always been the case. clothes were expensive and took a long time to make, and so if you got a hole in your jeans or in your shirt, you patched it. And so Jesus tells this story. He says, no one sews a piece of unshrunken cloth onto an old cloak. Otherwise, the patch pulls away from the new, and the tear is made worse. So if you have a coat and you get a hole in it, and that coat has already been worn and washed, and you try to put a new piece of fabric on top of it, when you wash the whole thing, that fabric is going to do what? It's going to shrink. It's going to make the hole worse. Jesus is saying, let's stop trying to mix the old stuff and the new stuff. Let's stop trying to keep one foot in and one foot out. Jump fully in with me into what I have to offer. Sometimes we really like to hesitate as the church. We like to hang on to the old stuff. We're hesitant for change. And Jesus is there pushing us into the deep end. The last story that Jesus has to offer is about wine. Any wine fans? Yeah, we just had a wine walk in town, right? I saw some of you there. I was there too. It's all right, I'll admit it. And so Jesus starts talking about old wine and new wine and wine skins. Now, back then, they didn't put wine in glass bottles like they do today. Instead, they were kind of in like a cloth sack called wineskins. And Jesus says this. He says, no one puts new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins and the wine is lost. And so are the skins. But put new wine into fresh wineskins. We can't take what we have been doing in the life of the church and wrap it up in new packaging and put a bow on it and say, here, we're moving forward for Jesus. Instead, Jesus is calling us to not just create new packaging, but also to put something new into what we're doing. Friends, the church does not like change. It never has. It takes us decades upon decades to do anything. And even those of us who say we like change, the first thing we do when we want to start a new project is we form a committee that has to talk to another committee, that then has to go to the leadership team, and then they have to bounce it back to another committee, right? To get anything done. And I'm part of the problem. I'm part of the institution, right? I like steps and procedures and things to go smoothly and things to be planned. But Jesus likes to disrupt. Jesus tells us, guys, it's time for some new wine and for some new wineskins. Let's pray. Loving God, help us find the material for the new wineskins of our day. God, may the faith and spirit and other elements of our wine that we have so long needed to find new shapes and forms meet the needs of your people and creation in this time. God, grant us wisdom to preserve the essence of all you have blessed us with. God, may we be generous and generative, passing on these treasures to a new generation, but allowing a new way to evolve in your name. Help us, O God, to shed the old wineskins of the things that are no longer serve us and our ministries, but grant us the courage to become new wine. Break us out of the bitterness that keeps us resistant or complacent, and let us be renewed by your living spirit. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.